Lamatei Avoisa, to the Shevet of his fathers, Tishlachu, all Nasi Bohem, every Nasi amongst them. So Rashi says, what is this Lashon Shlach L'cho? L'cho. It should be Shlach HaNoshim, send men. What is this Shlach L'cho, send for yourself, men? So like Rashi, Ani Yini Mitzavcho. Mitzavcho. I'm not commanding this to you, Zatakadosh Baruch Hu. Says, in Tirza, if you want, Shalach, then send for them. L'daitcho. Ani Yini Mitzavcho. I'm not commanding you to do it. If you want, you send. Why? If you should go Yisrael, Ba'amru, Nishlach HaNoshim, L'faneinu. Because the Bnei Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, let us send out men. You all came to me and you wanted us to send. So Moshe came and he asked an answer from the Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I said, Toivo Yoretz. I said, it's good. But they want to see it. I'll allow them to see it. But the Moshe is going to come with details. As I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it comes out that this was really Moshe Rabbeinu was masking. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him to do it. So the Ramban over here asks numerous questions. First of all, so why was there a time only on Klal Yisrael later on? Moshe Rabbeinu was masking to this. It says, Vayitav HaDover Be'enai. It says so in Sefer Dvarim. Vayitav HaDover Be'enai. This was good in my eyes. So Moshe Rabbeinu was masking to it. Why was it only a taina against Klal Yisrael? It should have been a taina connected Moshe Rabbeinu as well. That's question number one. Question number two. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Meraglim to be Baidik Eretz Yisrael, HaTayva Yimra, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it was good, it's Eretz Tayva Rechava, Hashem said it was good. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Meraglim to be Baidik, HaTayva Yimra? Vayter, what was the chait of the Meraglim? Another question. They answered back, the matter in Eretz Yisrael, and they said, oh, there's Anokim, there's giants, and the people are strong. Like, what was the time on them? They said it the way it was. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Reisim Esoretz Mahi, that's all my Yoshev Oleha, and see the people that are living on there. They came back and they answered, you know, what were they were asked? They were asked to give such answers. So what was the time on the miracle? And they saw what their eyes, they answered on what their eyes saw. Furthermore, Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu himself says how strong the people were there. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shema Yisrael, Ata Eber Hayem Es HaYarden, you are passing the Yarden today, Lo Voi Lo Reshes Goyim Gidolim Ba'atzumim, to go and to conquer great strong men, Am Godu V'rov B'nei Anokim, sons of giants. So what was the time on the miracle about what they said? Moshe Rabbeinu said it even better. He was more articulate in the way he described the people there. So, these are numerous questions that the Ramban asks. Not all of them are necessarily on Rashi, but these are questions that he brings up. So on the first question was, why was it not a time on Moshe Rabbeinu? The Re'en gives a teres to this kasha. The Re'en says, I believe this is a medrash. The medrash says, Reuven came over to Shimon and he says, can I buy your donkey off of you? So he says, yeah, I'll sell you my donkey. So he says, are you willing to let me ride it? Yeah. Are you willing to let me try it out on the mountains where it's more difficult? Yeah. Are you willing to let me put a heavy burden on it? Yeah. And whatever he asked for to try it out, he was masking. He says, oh, you know what? He's masking already, his stomach is good. I don't have anything to worry about. And he bought the Mecca. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted over here. Moshe Rabbeinu Zichron knew that the land is good. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that there was no need to spy out the land. However, he knew that the Bnei Yisrael had tzveikis. So they'll ask him, let us send that notion, let's go spy it out. And if Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, fine, go spy it out, you'll see it's good. Then they'll give up the Indian and they'll already be masking, they'll have the emuna. The problem was that there were those amongst them that weren't such big Bali B'dokim, and the Meraglim themselves were Mekalkel. So that was the time. But he said himself, of course he didn't see a need in it. But he figured he'll use a psychological tactic over here today. They should be masking him. Yeah, go see it. There's no problem. And that way, the Bnei Yisrael would back out on their own. Lamaisa did not work out like that. That's what the Re'en answers on the Ramban's kasha. There was a second question that the Ramban asks. Why did he ask HaTayvihi Yimra? I mean, Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu already said that it was good. So the Re'en says this is not a kasha on Rashi. And The answer is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, HaTayvi Yim Ra? Because once Moshe Rabbeinu was already telling them you could send Meraglim, so he was telling them what the Meraglim should see. What else are they going to see if not HaTayvi Yim Ra? Moshe Rabbeinu Zikr knew it was good. He didn't know that there was a real purpose in saying it, in sending them. But if he's already using it as a tactic, sure, go see HaTayvi Yim Ra. See, explain to them, what do you have to look out for? But not that Chas V'Shalom, there was a suffix in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes. The third question was, what was the chait of the Meraglim? The chait, they only answered on what they were asked. Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the things Moshe Rabbeinu asked is, what is the nation that sits there? So they came and said, they're giants and they keep biting. What was the time on them? So the Ren gives an answer, I'd like to say, over a different terrace that I saw from one of the Svarim. He says the following, and I'll give a marshal for it. So they said what they were supposed to answer. And they said the truth. So what was the time? You ever see, there's different ways that an artist could paint a picture. So an artist could paint a portrait of someone that mamash looks exactly like the person. It's a lifelike portrait, and your mamash was spoiled. I was able to get the facial expression and the exact surah of the person. That's one kind of a picture. There's another kind of a picture that you see in a cartoon, which is a caricature. You could tell that it's the person. Yeah, but his nose is a little bit bloated and his ears are a little bit, distorted. So he knows the person. It's a evolving picture. But it's a distortion of what he really looks like. It's a caricature. This was the time on the Meraglim. The Meraglim Zikr told the truth. And the Zikr painted the picture. But they painted it in a caricature. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Urisim Esoretz Mahi. What are the cities like? So they come back and they say, and it's Takazovas Cholovitvash. Efes, right away they jump to the Chisrainas in it. They were talking Chisrainas. But the Chisrainas have to be painted as part of a big picture. They should have said over all of the Milas of Eretz Yisrael exactly the way it is. And compared to the Milas of Eretz Yisrael, the Chisrainas are but a little bit. It's Kedai to go. And have a Kodesh Baruch Hu bring it to the land, even though there's a little bit of a chash, it's all Kedai. Because the land is so gevaldic. There's so much Torah, there's so much hidden in the land, there's so much godless in the land, there's Kedai to go in. But what did they do? They made a caricature out of it. The Chisrainas they made a big deal out of. And the Milas, it's a whole lot of bats, and here are the fruits. And then they went straight to the other topic. They painted the picture, but they didn't paint the picture in the right proportion. That was the time on the Meraglim. He said the others. But listen, when a person paints a caricature, he's painting the picture of the way the guy looks. You can tell it's him. But Lamaisa is distorted. The nose is out, the ears are a little bit extended or whatever. That is what they did. They said the Milas of Eretz Yisrael, but when it came to the Chisrainas, they overbloated it, so he didn't get the real picture, and the male, that's what got the B'nai Yisrael scared. There's another question that the Ramban asks. And that is that Moshe says, HaToyvihi Imra, is the land good or bad? Like it's mashma from Moshe Rabbeinu's words, it's like they have a choice not to go there. They didn't have a choice not to go there. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? HaToyvihi Imra. So on that, the Re'im again gives the same terrors as we said before. You're right. Not the pshat that they had another possibility. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them to look for what they wanted to look for. According to what they wanted to look for, HaToyvihi Imra. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself was sure that it would be good. Those are basically the answers to all of these questions. The pasuk goes on to say, Vayikra Moshe lo Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu called Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. So Rashi, why did he add Yehoshua, Yud K? So Rashi, his follower of Ko Yehoshiacha me'atzas Meraglim. May the Rabbeinu Shalom save you from the Eitzah of the Meraglim. So the Kli Yakar asks a question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu Bidavki use the name Yud K? Ko Yehoshiacha. There's other names of Hashem. Why Davki Ko Yehoshiacha me'atzas Meraglim? That's question number one. And number two, why didn't he say the same thing to Kalev? Ko Yehoshiacha me'atzas Meraglim. Why dafka to Yeshua and why not to Kalev? So the Kli Yakar says a very interesting teretz. Later on in Pasuk Kof Tes, when the Meraglim come back and they wanted to get the B'nai Yisrael scared, it says, Amalek Yoshev Eretz HaNegev. Amalek sits in the land of the Negev in the south. Why did they mention Amalek? Zogravshi. Hayoshte once got burnt by Amalek. Yov and Amalek, right after they went out of Mitzrayim, they were already burnt by Amalek, and they already had a bad experience with Amalek. So the Meraglim wanted to scare them with this, because that left a very bad taste in the mouths of the Yid. Moshe Rabbeinu, Baruch HaKodesh, saw that they're going to want to do this. So he knew that Yehoshua was Menatzeach over Amalek already. He knew that Yehoshua, he's not so afraid of Amalek. So he bedafki gave Yehoshua, he knew that here he had a strong point that he could focus on. Yehoshua was Menatzeach over Amalek. And with what koyach were they Menatzeach over Amalek? It says, Kiyod al Keisko. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his hand. Yod al Keisko, he has his hand on the throne, and by that name, Ko, he swears, Mechomo Hashem Amalek Midor Dor. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu was sure that just like Yehoshua was Menatzeach over Amalek earlier, Yehoshua was going to be Menatzeach over again, because the Koyach of the Shvuah with the Shem Ko still remained with Klal Yisrael. So that answers both questions. Number one, why Dafke the Shem Ko? Because that's the name that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore by that they're going to be Menatzeach over Amalek. So now if there's a problem of Amalek giving them a tzara, they were assured with the name of Ko they'll be Menatzeach. And that's why Dafke Yeshua and not Kole. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was using the ace that he had over here that was a sure thing. He didn't know whether Kole has a Koyach of being Menatzeach over Amalek. See, he couldn't give him that Koyach. But Yeshua already had that Koyach of being Menatzeach over Amalek. See, in him, Moshe Rabbeinu was confident that with the same Koyach that was already used to swear, to ensure that Klal Yisrael is not going to fall to Amalek, he invested that once again in Yehoshua, whom he knew could be Menatzeach over Amalek. Was that? Yeah, but the word is, he wanted to have something which is, you know, like a bird in the vase with two in the bush. Kalei, he didn't know. Yeshua, he knew that he could rely on, this was sort of like the pillar that he could rely on over here, that's not going to waver. So he reinforced it with that same shame that he had before. So he talked to Kliyak. And he told him, Aluzeh Banegev, go up in the south. There's a Peledike Zach. The Rav Chaim Volozhiner brings down in the Hagdomah to the Sefer of the Gra on Safra that's in use. The Gra has a pirush on Safra that it's used. It's a chelik of the Zohar HaKadosh. Very, very chelik a Sefer. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes a Hagdomah to that Sefer. So there he brings down the Nifladik Amaisa. He says, it was Yodua that the Vilna Goyin on the Sholosh Regolim was always tremendously besimcha, like a heavenly simcha. And one time on Pesach, two Talmidim were sitting in front of him. They were schmoozing and learning. And they saw up is that the Goyin did not have the regular simcha on his face. So they asked him, Rebbe, you know, what is today different than all other Yom Tovim, that the Rebbe is not so besimcha? So the Gra says, I have to tell you, he says, you know, Shlomo HaMelech says, Daga Belevish Yasichena. If a person has daiga in his heart, he should tell it over. So I guess I'm mukhrich to tell you. He says, last night, it was Nizgala to me, on this Pasuk, Aluzeh Banegev, it was Nizgala to me over 2,000 pshotim in Aluzeh Banegev. When I woke up in the morning, before I had a chance to say Birkas HaTayra, I was trying to chazer the pshotim. Most shittas hold that you're allowed to think and learning before Birkas HaTayra. But the Gro is a das yochid, that you're not allowed to even think and learning before Birkas HaTayra. So Tosai, they took away the pshatim from him. The Mele, he was a shtickle ba'atzvus. Anyway, a few days later, they saw that he was in tremendous simcha. So one of the Talmidim went over to him and he said, did the Rebbe get back to pshatim? So he says, yeah, I got back to pshatim. And you should know that in one of the pshatim and Aluzeh Banegev, I learned the yesoidus of the entire Bria and the inner function of every single aver in a person's body. This is all in the Pasuk, Aluzeh Banegev. I think it was Sach HaKol 2,260 pshatim on Aluzeh Banegev, and one of the pshatim had the yesoidus in the entire Bria. Halfway of a fellow. The pasuk goes on to say, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, "Umoha oretz hashmeno hi imraza." Is it fat? Is it fertile? Or is it thin? Is it weak? Hayesh bo eitz im ayin. Does it have a tree or doesn't it have a tree? So, Parshat the Kashan on the Pasuk, Yesh bo eitz im ayin, oh, yeah, Rishayim, there's trees there. Fashaitzach, the land has trees. What's the Shayla? Yesh bo eitz im ayin. So Rashi brings down the Medrash. That's not the pshat that he was asking, are there trees there? And Odom is the Eitz HaSod. He was referring to, is there a tzaddik that he'd be making on them? Like an Eitz, which Chazal say, Eoy, is Eoy still alive? According to this sheet, that Eoy lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Is there a tzaddik living in Eretz Yisrael that could be making on them? That's Hayesh Bo Eitz, like a tree that shades over people. So is there a tzaddik there that can be made, making on the people in Eretz Yisrael? It's a very nice medrash. Very good of her. How do you textualize the Poshtav Shah? Poshtav Shah, I mean, it was a shayla, if there was trees there or not. So how do you teach Poshtav Shah over here? As I frek the Satmar Rebbe. Also, the Targum Yonis and Medrziel brings down over here. Hayesh bo eitz, are there trees with fruits to eat? Also a stickle shver. Generally speaking, a country has trees with fruits to eat. Right? So what was the shayla over here? Satmar Rebbe says, I'm not the Kibshah. The tour, you know, Rechaim Simen Reish Ches, B'negev HaHalachas of Al HaMichya, he brings down V'yesh Oimrim. Some people say that in Al HaMichya, you say the Nusach, V'noichal Mipiria, V'nizba Mituba, which is our Nusach. We should eat from its fruits, we should be satisfied from its good. Zok the tour, you shouldn't say that in Al HaMichya. Why not? Because we don't want Eretz Yisrael because of the fruit, because of the tastiness of it. The Ikka reason why we want Eretz Yisrael is to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Sakhliyazba. So to say, we daven Takvadish Baruch Hu, that V'noichal Mipiria V'nizmi Mituba, which is a Gashmiyaznika thing, we shouldn't say that in Alam Echim. So the Bach writes on the tour over here, he says, V'teimah, he won, it's a wonder. Kedusha Sa'aretz is Mushba in the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Because the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, they're yoinek, they nurse from the Shechina that's in Eretz Yisrael. Right? As it says in Parashas Maaseh, Lo yisitame es ha'oretz, asher atem yoishvim bo, asher ani shoichim b'soicha. Don't be metam of the land in which I dwell. Because if you're going to be metam of the land, the tumor goes into the fruits. If the tumor goes into the fruits and the people eat it, then they become tameh. And if they become tameh, the Shechina goes away. The Shechina cannot rest amongst people that are tameh. So the Bach says, no, Adarabba, we should continue to eat from its fruits that have the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in it, and the Memela will be able to remain Kodesh. And Memela, that's Taka Aaron Nusuch, that's Taka what we say. So according to this, the Satmar Rebbe says that the two things go hand in hand. If there's a tzaddik there that's making on the door, and he has a chusim, and he adds kedusha to Eretz Yisrael, so then we can eat from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Oh, but if there is no tzaddik there, and the people do aveiros, and then the fruits become tamei, then we can't eat from the fruits either. Because then we're going to become tamei, we're going to be goyim. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know, are the fruits edible as we go in right away? So he asked, Hayesh bo eitz, is there a tzaddik living in Eretz Yisrael that's making on the door? And maybe he brings Kiddush into Eretz Yisrael. If he does, then we'll be able to taki eat from the fruits. Then Hayesh bo eitz is kipshuta. Are there trees there that we can eat from, like the Targum Yonison ben Uziel says? But if there is no tzaddik to be making, and there is no Kiddush in Imshach on the fruits, then when we go in, we're not going to be able to eat from it. So it comes out that the drash, the medrash, that the eitz is going on a tzaddik, and the pshuta shel mikra are there trees from which we can eat, both go hand in hand, they tie into each other very well. The pasuk goes on to say that as the B'nai Yisrael were tumbling, oyvei, what's going to be? By Yahas Kolev es ha'om el Moshe. And Kolev quieted down the nation to Moshe. What does it mean to Moshe? About Moshe. He quieted them all down. Because everybody was tumbling against Moshe Rabbeinu. So Kolev says, yeah, and is that all that Moshe Rabbeinu did? So everybody thought that he's going to speak Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. They all quieted down to hear what he's going to talk about Moshe. Then he started saying, he's Korol us Hayam, he split the Yam for us, and he brought us the Slav, and he brought us the Mon, etc. So he quieted them down for a moment, and that calmed the anger. So I saw her Ore. What exactly did Kolev accomplish? The Maaser, right after, they went back again to complaining. Right, See, calm them down for a minute, you know. See, he tricked them. Oh, you fooled them. So for a few minutes that he's talking, you know, everything is quiet. But then they went back again to tooling again. So what exactly did he accomplish by this? How's my friend in the Svar? So I saw a pshat brought down from Reb Chaim Ephraim Zaytchik. One of the big Bali Musa wrote very many Svarim. It's old Mavardiker. I once heard him speak and tells. Very, very choshev about Musa. So I saw a pshat that he said. He said the following. At the end, you know, they went back to the way they were originally. But it's Eina Daima, a kas that carries on consistently, and it boils and it boils and it boils without stop, to a kas that stopped in the middle. Lamaisa, if a kas is stopped in the middle, it's not with the same strength anymore. It doesn't have that momentum as before. And maybe during those few seconds in which the person stops, there's a cause for her hooray shuvah. You know, guy stops to think. At least it gives him a chance. But if you allow a person to get into a frenzy without stopping to think at all, then there's no chance of his doing tshuva. And even after they went back by there again, it wasn't with the same kayak. And the side double was that people never were, you know, they were nirshu and they tackled, they fell into the klova that befell the Dor HaMidbar. Over Lamaisa Lamaisa, he accomplished that much that at least there was some here who were in tshuva. Brings down a Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim from Yudah Chosid brings down a Maisa as follows. There was once a son that Kesevi used to be Machabed his father. Tremendous kibbut of. The father was very much in the henna from it. The father told him, my son, you're Machabed me tremendously Bechaya. But I want you to be Machabed me after I leave this world as well. I want you to promise me that whenever you get angry, leave the anger overnight and don't react to your anger immediately. Let the anger stay overnight, and then if you're still angry, then you'll react. And the son promised the father. The father was mystic. Son got married. And he went overseas to bring Parnosa for his house. And he left the wife that was expecting a child. He didn't realize that she was Mubarak. He stayed away for 1 year, for 2 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. How long? He comes back home, and he wants to go back to his house, and he overhears from outside the house how there's a man inside talking to his wife, and he gives her a kiss. So he says, this is someone over here that's being mizana with his wife. He takes out his sword, and he was ready to kill both his wife and the person inside. But then he remembered the promise he made to his father. So he put back the sword, I'll give it some time. And he overhears how his wife tells this person, my dear son, if your father would know that he has a son already that's older, and he's holding the parish of Shidduchim, I'm sure that he would come back home already to take care of your Shidduchim needs. He says, oi, oi, oi. He says, I was just holding Kemat, I would have killed my wife and my son. And because he held back, you know, those few moments of anger, he saved himself from a terrible, terrible calamity. So, you see, almost even for a couple of moments, just to stop and think about it, how it's shaykh to save himself, how many tzoros are caused by people that act in anger. The whole mice of Kamsen bar Kamsen. You know, he acted, you know, he was talking insulted, he was talking bavuzer bar Kamsen. But he acted in haste, he acted in anger. Chances are, if he would have, you know, not acted in such haste, we could have avoided the calamity of Churban Bayis Sheni, at least temporarily. Of a lot of times people act in haste, they act mitoch their anger, and it causes terrible, terrible hefsed. That's over here what Kolev, at least he accomplished that much. It at least gave them the opportunity to be able to calm down and to be able to think about their actions. And as you're talking, talking, that there were people that had a rachu. The Gra brings down at the end of this week's parasha, it says Ureisa Maisai, the parasha of Kriyashma. So the Gra brings down Gimel B'Maseira. We find the words Ureisa three times in the Torah. By Kriyashma it says Ureisa Maisai. In the beginning of parasha Shlach it says Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Meraglim Ureisa Mesa'aretz. And at the beginning of Shemais, it says, Uri Isem al Ho'ovnoyim. Pari told the Miyalda Shifra and Pura, you should see on the birthstool, and Ben Huba, Mitamaisa, and Basi Vachoy. So three times you find Ur Isim, I say. So years ago, a few years ago, I said over a pshat from the Gra that he was Marun as the Mishnah, Akavya ben Mahalal al Oimer, Istakar v'shloish advarim, v'iyatobo lidei adeira. Look at three things and you're never going to come lidei adeira. Dam yayin bosa, l'onata hoylech, v'lufne miyata osa litin din v'cheshmi. Mayayin bosa, from where were you born? Mitipas rucha, from a little drop of zera. A place of rot and worms buried in the ground. All these three Ur Isim, they say, you're around to that. Ur Isim Alahog Noyim, where did you come from? Where were you born from? Look at the earth, you're eventually going to be buried there. So he's off the grow a remez to these three things. But I once heard a pshat, a Meir de Kizach, that there's a common denominator between all of these three Ur Isim Oysais. And that is, when you're being distracted, and when there's something to take you away from the Iker, you have to focus on what the Iker is and not get distracted by the side things. Each and every one of these three Re'iyas had something to distract from the Iker that could have taken away from the Re'iyah. And they didn't do like the Melech Mitzrayim told them. There was a lot there to take them away from seeing the truth. Melech Mitzrayim is the most powerful man on earth. And he's commanding them to kill these children. And at the same time, they also could have seen, it doesn't make a difference. We're Avodim anyway. We're in a matzav of despair. You know, why strain ourselves to save these children? They didn't allow these Ayti Gezachim to distract them by Terenah, Mialdas, Esar, Lekim. All they saw was Hashem. They saw what the Iker is, and they saw that there's hope for Klal Yisrael. They did not allow the side distractions to get in their way. By the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu said over and over again, Ura Isim Esa Oret Mahi. Esa Oret Mahi. Ma, ma, ma. Look at the essence of the land. Look at the Teva of the land. The Meraglim allowed themselves to get distracted by the Arum and Arum, by the fear of the giants, by the fear of the Zayti Gezachim, and it took them away from the Ikariyah. Yeshua and Kolei, they were the ones that said, nay, ki toivah ha'aretz ma'oid ma'oid. They were focused on the Gevaldik height of the land, and it's Kedai to go, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to help us. They weren't distracted by the Arum and Arum. They were talking a kind of Re'iyah that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. The Meraglim were distracted by the side. It's the same thing with the parasha of Tzitzis Ur Isim Oysoi. We already mentioned once, the Maral says, the big beged, the big talis represents the four corners of Olam Hazeh. And its boundaries. Olam Hazeh has its boundaries. It has its confines. It has the guf. It has the physical tibis that confine us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tzitzis go beyond the boundaries. The Tzitzis show us that we're able to be within a goof of chaymer, within the confines of a human body, with the Yetzirah, and we're able to go beyond, and we're able to attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Ur Isim Oysoi. The Makom where it's very easy to get distracted by the four corners, by the titus of Olam Hazeh, by what we see down here in Olam Hazeh, by the senses, by the gashmis, the feelings of Olam Hazeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to look at the tzitzis, look at the tcheles, and immediately you'll see him. There's something beyond the borders, there's something beyond the confines of Olam Hazeh. So all three Ur Isim Oysois is focus on the Iker. Don't get distracted by the side things. That's the Gimel B'Mesoira. All three Ur Isim Oysois represent the same thing. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.